Bible, then you don't have a Bible. Say amen. Well, I thought I'd get an amen or two. I got two of them. Some of the preachers might need to wake up and get with me. Amen. Y'all King James, ain't you? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. I want to say thank you to the church for the good room, the honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor. I mean that from my heart. And the good food we had for lunch today. Are we eating after church again? Same stuff? All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope you've enjoyed the message tonight. That was good food. Amen. That was worth the trip. That's the only reason I went to church tonight. I got saved. And I was on my way to a party and had already started drinking a little bit. And a buddy of mine came by and invited me to the house of God. I said, man, it was New Year's. I said, I'm partying old year out and a new year in, man. I am not going to church. He said, the women are cooking. I said, what time are we eating? I will eat about 9 o'clock, then go back to church till about midnight. I said, that's fine. I'll go and eat and party. Don't get cranked up till 11 anyway, so I'll be all right. Oh, but something got a hold of me that night, buddy. I don't think I need to tell you, I never made it to the party. Amen. Thank God. I come in that night. My mama said, you drunk again tonight, John? I said, no, Mom, I got saved. I went to church. And she said, she raised up on the couch. She was asleep on the couch. She raised up on the couch. She looked at me. She said, you sure you ain't drunk? No, I've been 27 years. I didn't quit drinking. I just changed fountains. Amen. So that's the only reason I went to church tonight. I got saved. So food has a special place in my hands, in my mouth, in my heart, in my stomach. I mean, I just love food. Amen. So let's get with it. All right. I could have done had half a message preached if I wasn't talking about that. But Acts 12, thank you very much. The food was wonderful. The room, the good spirit in the Lord's house. I love meetings like this. We need meetings like this. And so much the more. Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. When you find your place, say amen. Bible said, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quartarians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Here's our thought tonight. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Fathers, we bind your presence. I thank thee, O righteous God, for this morning's service. Thank you for the good food, the fellowship. Thank thee, Lord, for the good singing we've already heard tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good liberty this morning. Now, Lord, it's a new service. You're more aware of that than we are, I think. And I pray in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake tonight, God, you'd give us a fresh touch, and God, you'd birth it in our hearts to have a revival on this subject of prayer. And I'll bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach on this simple subject tonight, when the church praise. I didn't read the rest of the chapter or the rest of the story, but God sent an angel and God delivered Peter. And God delivered Peter right to the very place where these people were praying. That just reminds me that we serve a prayer answering God. And I'm glad that we can ring the prayer bells of heaven, and I'm glad we can get a hold of the horns of the altar, and that God would look our way, and that God would listen to somebody like me and somebody like you. And I'm thankful that we can go to the prayer closet and come back singing, I've just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. I had a young preacher ask me one time. He said, Brother John, how do you know you get a hold of God when you pray? I said, son, you won't have to ask nobody that. He'll get a hold of you. Brother, it's heaven touching earth and earth touching heaven, and God giving a listening ear to us. The church was ever in a bind. It was in this chapter. So they got together. They didn't make a large Facebook post. They didn't make a printed paper and pass it out. Pray for Peter. They didn't announce it. They just got together and they just called on God. I don't see where the record of anything they said is in the Bible. All I know, somebody got a hold of God in this church, and somebody had got their prayers answered from God. I never cease to be amazed at God. I have personally made prayer requests in our prayer room at our church. And neighbor, I've watched God answer prayers. I've been in there on Wednesday night and I've asked the men, you pray for us. I'm not preaching this week and we need a little work. And without fail, Brother Brian, every Thursday the phone will ring. Hey, we need some work done. And God supplies the needs. And my wife has prayed and my children have prayed. And God has answered prayer after prayer. And I rejoice in that tonight. I get fired up about it. Brother, I tell you, I believe with all my heart, the most needed yet neglected subject in all our Baptist churches would be that of prayer. Brother, there's more info prayer than just about anything in the Bible. Anybody is worth their weight for God. They had a prayer life. Anybody in our generation that ever done anything for God, they had a prayer life. Just a few simple truths that I would like to magnify tonight. The Bible said in verse number 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains and the keepers before the door. And behold, the angel of the Lord came and a light shined in the prison. The first thing that'll happen, God put light on the problem. Now, neighbor, there's the timing of this light we need to take note of. It was at night. I mean, it was dark outside. Yeah, the church had lights, but outside it was dark. And what the church was doing, they was praying in the dark. But God was shining light on the problem. It may have been dark at the church, but there's light shining in the jail cell. And brother, just cause you can't see it, don't mean you need to quit praying about it. Never, just cause God ain't shining light on you right now, don't mean God ain't shining light on the problem and waking somebody up and help him. Just because you can't see what's going on don't mean you need to quit praying. It was dark. Sometimes we got to pray through the depression, the devils, the darkness. Amen. Sometimes we got to pray through the clouds of oppression. Amen. God's even heard our prayer. Amen. But he'll let us keep on praying before he ever gives us the answer. Amen. I tell you, he may have heard them the first time they prayed, but God didn't put a stop. See, God sent an angel to the jail cell and God sent light to the jail. But he didn't send an angel to the church. And he didn't send that same light to the church. So what do we got to do? We have got to pray on through the dark. Good, 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 good friend of mine, Brother Rudy Smith. His wife, she's in heaven now. She had got just in a bad way. And Brother Rudy was praying for her one night. And she was in the hospital. And they didn't know whether she's going to live or die. And Brother Rutledge, Brother Rudy said he got down and he prayed. And he said all he could think to say to God was, Jesus, I love you. And the Lord spoke to him right then and there and said, in the darkness of his trial, he said, I know you do. And Brother Rudy said, that's all I needed to hear. And a lot of times in our prayers, we're looking for some kind of big, God ain't going to send you an encyclopedia. He's not going to send you a dictionary full of fancy words. It may just be like when they got the prayers answered. There's Peter knocking on the door. Hey, but well, we just don't believe it. Well, that's what she's praying for. And God answered the prayer. Have you ever prayed something and God actually done it? And you're standing there amazed that God had answered your prayer. You got to pray through the dark. But then there's the tomorrow of this thing, the timing of this light showing up. But then there's the tomorrow of this thing. See, Herod had just killed James and with the edge of the sword. And boy, he seen it pleased the Jews and it pleased the people. Well, I got Peter up in here. I believe we'll kill him next. And brother, I guarantee you there's already taking measurements. Amen. The church was over there praying. I guarantee you there's an unbeliever in there. Amen. They said, you know what, Peter, some of them preachers is probably planning on who's going to preach Peter's funeral. And they're already working on their funeral sermon for Peter. I guarantee you they'd have said something like this: ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If Peter had kept his fat mouth shut, he'd still be with us. Amen. But
I make good money on James's casket, I believe. I heard Peter's in jail. I'll go ahead and measure him up and get him. I guarantee you that soldier that killed him, he said, well, I got James. I'm going to get to get Peter now. Hey, sharpening that sword up. Hey, remember, you know what? That tomorrow never came. That tomorrow never happened. I wonder how many tomorrows was going to be our death, was going to be our demise. I wonder how many tomorrows the devil had it planned out that is going to wreck our ministry and ruin our marriages. I wonder how many tomorrows when somebody got a hold of God and somebody touched heaven and somebody prayed through, and that tomorrow never came.
I am thoroughly convinced that I'm standing before you here today living off the prayers of somebody else. Oh, yes, Brother Sammy Allen prayed for me every day, and when he went to heaven, I could feel his prayers going with him. Amen. They said, Brother Ralph Sexton, I think I asked Brother Junior one time, his daddy passed on, I heard him testifying about how that he didn't know what he was going to do. His daddy was his greatest prayer partner, greatest prayer warrior, and his daddy prayed for him more than anything. And Brother Ralph said, when daddy passed, I could sense his prayers going on, and we've all come to this conclusion that God's still answering the prayers of the people that were living that are now in heaven. God's still honoring their prayer life, and God's still answering their prayers. And neighbor, I'm telling you, we'd be in a mess had it not been for God telling somebody, I need you to pray. A good friend of mine, Brother Dan Kahn, seen his precious wife Judy back in the late 90s, early 2000s, somewhere's in there. She come down with cancer, and we'd pray for her and pray for her and pray for her and pray for her. And God finally healed her. I'm talking about healed her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I mean, healed her so good he gave her a new body. Amen to God. And God just went ahead and took her on to heaven. But the night she passed, brother, God woke me up in the middle of the night. He said, I want you to pray for Brother Dan. And so I got up and I prayed a 5-minute prayer, and I said, Lord, help Brother Dan. I don't know what he's going through. You spoke to me about praying for him. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought I'd get by and I'd go on back to bed. And the Holy Ghost said, I want you to pray for him. And so I got up and I prayed for him. I was at work the next day, the days before cell phones, and my phone rang. They called me from the office, said, you need to call so-and-so. And so I called so-and-so and said, Brother John, I'm going to Cherokee to see Dan tonight. His wife passed away about 2 o'clock this morning. And brother, I had no idea. Deal, but I do know this, God woke me up and had me praying for that feller. Brother, I'm telling you, God, hey, you can say amen to the preaching, that's a great blessing. If you be faithful to church, it's the will of God, that's a great blessing. But I believe if people got faithful to their secret place and faithful to God, brother, we can pray people out of harm's way. Brother, we got children going to hell, we got a county going to hell, and sinners going to hell without God, and somebody better pray. Amen. That tomorrow never came. But I tell you, the one that did is the one where we got 1st and 2nd Peter. Is the one where we can glean from a man that got prayed out of harm's way. Brother Mays Jackson, I don't preach other men's messages, but I'll steal your illustration in a New York minute. Somebody say amen right there. I heard Brother Mays Jackson years ago. He said he read this in a Reader's Digest that there's an old boy over there with a Marine group of Marines in World War II. Said that they had to go over there and got to this certain place and said there's a flagpole and they had to hang a flag up to let everybody know that America was there, and that they had taken that island. And boy, that Marine sergeant, he sent an old boy up yonder. He said, you shimmy up that pole, hang this flag, and we'll let them know. He got halfway up that pole and a sniper shot him down, graveyard dead. He fell down at that sergeant's feet, and that sergeant, he wept. He said, fellas, he said, I've got orders to hang his flag, and somebody's got to do it, and I don't have the conscience to command somebody
somebody to do it. Do I have any volunteers? They said, there's an old boy from Arkansas sitting over in that foxhole. He said, he looked up at his clock and he said, Sarge, I'll do it in 30 minutes. He said, all right, take your time, 30 minutes. And 30 minutes come, that old boy went over and grabbed that flag. He shimmied up that pole, hung that flag, and shooting all around him, not a bullet in on that island was getting near him. And Brother Jacob, he got back down, went over and sat down, didn't say a thing to nobody. That sergeant said, I've got to know what's going on. And he went over and said, hey, son, I appreciate you doing that, but why in the world did you want to wait 30 minutes, and how come you could do it and nobody else could? He looked at him and said, Sarge, my mama told me before I left out for the war that every morning at the same time I should be behind the old wood stove calling my name out to God. He said, I knew that it's about that time, and there wasn't a bullet on this island. I ain't going to die during that time. My mama knows how to get a hold of God. Brother, I'm glad, thank God, that God's got some people. I get around you and I'll even halfway thank you, pray. I'm going to get my name on your prayer list. The light shining in Peter's darkness was, hey, I don't know if anybody in here has got a wayward child. You keep on praying, God will shine light on you. That's been my prayer. God's blessed me. I don't have any prodigals right now. And I don't want any prodigals. And I'm not bragging that I've raised my children right. And praise God, they ain't going to do wrong. And they ain't going to get... Hey, I'm not going to make that kind of proud, cocky, arrogant brag. It's only the grace of God that I don't have any prodigals. But I've always looked at it like this. I've always tried to sow good seeds and go after others' prodigals and pray for other people's problems. Why? Because the day of come. When I got problems, I need you to help me pray about. Amen. Just like Job, he'd been given out advice. He'd been the leader, but now he's lost everything he's got, and his friends come to him and say, man, you used to be telling everybody what to do. Now you need somebody to tell you what to do. Neighbor, I'm telling you, amen, if you go after somebody else's prodigals, if you ever have one yourself, I promise you, God, he'll send somebody after yours. God gave light. I'm just about ready to preach a little bit up here. God gave light that tomorrow never came. But then not only did God give light, God gave liberty. Amen to God. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up and said, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. God has liberated Peter. Amen. There's liberty. When we're praying, God not only gives light, but God liberates those that are bound up. And we got people in our life that's bound up in sin. We got people in our lives that's bound up with drugs and alcohol and pornography. We know people that's bound up in that wicked sin of sodomy. Brother, I tell you, neighbor, why don't you get on your knees and call on God and watch God. Amen. Turn them loose. Hey, we've got friends. Now, Peter didn't do no sin. As far as I can tell, he'd been doing the will of God, preaching the word of God, and he got bound up. Amen. We've got people that's been doing right and have been bound up. And the world don't like what they're doing. And the devil don't like what they're doing. What we got to do is pray that God will send liberty from heaven. He was detained, to say the least. The Bible said, and his chains fell off from his hands. And it just fell off. That's what happens when God shows up. He was detained. The Bible said in verse 4 that they had four quarterions of soldiers. I looked up that quarterion. It means four. So there was four groups of four. Where I come from, four times four is still 30. 16. Don't make me laugh at my own jokes tonight, please. 16 guards. And God heard the church pray. And God, my beloved friend, had let them chains fall off. And God let Peter walk right out of that jail. And not a one of them noticed it. Ain't that just like Jesus? Amen to God. It's just like, can I run a biblical rabbit just for a minute? It's just like over there in Mark chapter number 4 and chapter 5 when they got in that storm and them waters was beating over the boat, and the Bible said it covered up the boat. Amen. And Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea and it stopped. The Bible said the boat was now full. Well, she's fixing to go down. But ain't never a boat sank when Jesus was on it. Now you show me in your Bible whatever happened to that water that was in the boat. Brother, they did. The Bible don't say they got a pump or a bucket. Brother, I believe with all my heart when Jesus spoke. Amen. Even the water in the boat said, hey, our master has spoken. We're trespassing right now. We need to leave. And that water got out of the boat. And brother, nobody said nothing about it. Neighbor, I'm telling you, that's the way we are sometimes. God will do something for us. It'll be so amazing. We don't have the words. We don't have the vocabulary. All I know to do is just sit back and say, thank you, Jesus. Your blessings on me. 16. Boy, I'm telling you what, Peter is in over his head again. I like to think of old Peter as the kamikaze of the apostles. Peter's kind of like us rednecks. Amen. You dare him to do it, he'd probably do it. You know the famous last words of a redneck are, don't you? Hey, watch this. Brother, old Peter, he had some boldness, but he stood on the day of Pentecost and preached with boldness. And he prayed with boldness. And buddy, yes, he had his issues, but God has liberated him. And he knew what it was. Amen. He was in the deep, boy. He was in there deep. He was detained. Amen. But he was behind closed doors. Now, amen. The Bible said that door, later on, verse 10 and 11, opened up of its own. God, he's good at opening doors, ain't he? You know, I've been in the ministry. Don't pat me on the back for saying this. Maybe I can help somebody, especially a preacher. I've been in the ministry 27 years. 27 years, right around this time. I surrendered to preach 27 years ago. You know, I've never asked a preacher if I could preach for him. I mean, if I'm lying, you tell the truth, Pastor. I didn't ask you if I could come down here. I didn't insinuate I wanted to. I didn't try to kick the door open. Why? Because it works a whole lot better when God opens the doors. Not just in the ministry, but when God opens the door of the will of God for your life. You go through it. You don't hang around. You don't. Peter didn't go by the break room in the jailhouse to get him a cup of coffee on the way out. He wasn't hanging out around there. He's getting on into town and going over to the church house. And why? Because God had liberated us. And God don't set us free for us to go back into what he set us free from. God didn't let the chains fall off. And God didn't redeem us from the hand of the enemy. That's so we can go back and serve that crowd. He set us free. That's so we can go do his will and preach the gospel and be in the will of God. Hallelujah to God. God gave him light. God gave him liberty. And then nextly, God has given him leadership. And the angel said, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So he did. He saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. God is giving Peter everything he needs to get out of jail. And he's giving him leadership. Boy, I like that divine leadership, don't you? Buddy, I'll never forget one time I was riding down the interstate, Brother Brian. And I was over in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And the Holy Spirit said, get off this exit. So I got off the exit. And I went over and I pulled in the parking lot and I said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And he spoke to me and said, you can get back on the interstate. I felt like a fool. I said, Lord, and so I just did. So I went about 5 miles down the interstate. And the tractor and trailer that was beside me when God told me to get off the interstate had a very, very serious, bad wreck. And I would have been right in the middle of it had I not listened to the still small voice of God. And sometimes God's going to tell you to do it. He ain't going to tell you to quit cutting your hair, men, and take a Nazarite vow and grow your hair out like a hippie or nothing like that. But if he speaks to you about witnessing to somebody, or he speaks to us preachers about a certain text, well, I don't have an outline, I don't have a title. It don't matter. God knows what he's doing, and God knows where we need to be. God gave him leadership. This leadership woke him up. This leadership raised him up. And he told him, he said, cast thy garments about thee. This leadership got him clothed up. And I like to look at this clothing here as a type of the whole armor of God. We got a commandment from the Bible to be fully clothed with the armor of God. Not just the helmet of salvation. I'm not going to go to battle with just a sword. I'm going to take my shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, my loins girded about with truth, and have it all on. You need to be armed. And if you want to do a brief study in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, you ought to study the armor of God in the context of children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Or to study it in the context of being a child. Study it in the context of being a parent, of being a servant, of being a preacher. We have got to wear the whole armor of God. I need to move on. But he should clothe leadership to get him out. The people we're praying for, that's what they need. Amen. Their leadership. Now the Bible said that the angel of the Lord smote Peter on the side. Now, we're praying for a touch from God, are we not? And we're praying that God would touch the people we love. I'll never forget, it's been about a year ago almost, my nephew Boone called me up one night. And he said, Uncle John, he said, I just wanted to call you and tell you I got saved. I said, do what? He said, I got saved. I said, I can't hear you, son. Tell me again. He said, I got saved. I said, you're going to have to speak up. I think we got a bad connection. I was really enjoying hearing him say I got saved. So I'm going to get it out of him as many times as I possibly could. Little 8-9-year-old Boone, he said, Uncle John, the Lord touched my heart tonight and I got saved. That touch of God. Sometimes God touches us. It's a sweet, gentle touch. Other times God touches us, it's a little bit rough. Because that angel, the Bible said, smote him on his side. Been about like me coming by you while you're sleeping, kicking you, and say, hey, get up, let's go. Peter get mad and say, well, I can't believe you touched me like that. I can't believe you just hit me like that. Now, Peter was a man, and he knew that this was deliverance. So even if the touch of God, even if his leadership gets a little bit rough sometimes, follow it. And can I just, I know some of you, I'm a novice, really. I'm a preacher boy compared to some of you men of God that's been with God all these years. But can I just tell you my short little 27-year pilgrimage, what I've learned? Very simple. You're not always going to like what God has to say to you. You're not always going to do what God tells you to do. Let me give you an example. You sinned against somebody and you got to go to them and apologize, and the Holy Spirit smote your heart. Said he wasn't going to touch you real good again until you did. Now I got to go eat crow and say I'm sorry. Oh, but once we do, buddy, how glorious. The leadership and the touch of God's love sometimes. God gave him leadership. Then this leadership has got Peter awake in verse number 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. This leadership gave Peter assurance. He didn't have to say, look around and ask somebody, what in the world's going on? It gave him sweet assurance. Isn't it good to get assurance from God? But not only did it give him assurance, but it brought an awareness. And the Bible said, and when Peter was come to himself, he's not only awake, he's not only assured, but he's got an awareness of the surroundings. And brother, I tell you, we got a lot of Baptists that are so asleep on God that they're numb and they're not aware of what's going on around them. Parents are asleep on God. Their children are going to hell without God. They don't even care about it. Preachers are asleep on God, and you got church members that are asleep on God. But the church prayed and gave Peter some awareness. Thank God for the leadership. Now watch this. Peter knocked at the door of the gate And a damsel, verse 13, came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, and they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, now this right here is a convicting thought for me. It was easier for Peter to go through the doors of the jailhouse the wrong way than it was for him to get back in the church house. Did y'all pick up what I just said? He got out of jail a whole lot easier than he got back in the church. Why? Well, they're over there praying, but ain't nobody believing. But when he got in there, buddy, it made believers out of him. It gave him leadership. Then lastly, and I'm done tonight, verse number 23, the Bible said immediately, here's Herod. He was highly displeased. All this, and on a set day, and he's making an oration to the people, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. I don't know if it was the same angel, but it could have been. The same angel that touched Peter and it got a little rough, it really got rough on Herod. I'm telling you, buddy, it got some more kind of bad, kind of rough on him that he even died. My last thought's this. When the church prays, the world loses out. They lost their hero that day. They lost Herod. They lost that man that had been making them happy because he was killing Christians. When the church prays, you got the simple outline, it gives light. It gives leadership. When the church prays, it gives liberty. And when the church prays, the world loses out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for liberty to preach tonight. Thank you for the pastor in this church. Pray that you bless the man of God as he's coming tonight. Pray you'd give wisdom and liberty. Pray for the remainder of the service. God help us as a church to pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.